Glory to God. Well, again, happy Wednesday to everybody. Appreciate you. Love you. And, man, God is just doing some awesome things in our life. And I just wanted to reiterate again that, you know, we signed on the building and it's ours. And God made a way like he said he was going to do when he brought us here to Livonia. And when he kept me here, he said, I'll bless you here. And he's kept his promise, amen? And I know he's done the same for you. And we ain't seen anything yet of all that God has in store. You know, something cool about the Father and his greatness is he always has surprises for us when we least expect it, man. He's going to do something awesome. He's going to turn around a corner. We're going to turn around a corner and see just a miracle of God. And he'll sit there and say, ha, 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 I had it all along. I had a surprise for you. He, he, he. Laugh out loud, right? He's awesome, man. So I just wanted to reiterate that. It was everything went great at the signing, and we're just so thankful for what God has done. And we got other plans down the road of what God is going to make happen, and we're going to do everything we can to stay out of debt, amen? We got to pay this building off, but we're going to use wisdom and watch God make it happen. Faith moves mountains. Faith moves mountains, and we have faith in a mighty God, and so that mountain will be moved. Again, if you get a chance, go back to the archive on Tribulation Now. Man, we had a great interview. It was awesome. Talked about evangelism and things that are going on in these last days and how that the harvest is now. We don't have to wait. We don't have to wait till trumpets sound and all kinds of apocalyptic things take place. People are dying right now. You know, people are losing their homes. People are losing their families. Marriages are falling apart. So now's the time to do the work of evangelists. So if you get a chance, go back and listen to that. And I don't think the Now broadcast has any archives. But again, I told you, watching it, it was just awesome to see Ignited Church up there, to see our information up there, and, you know, to know that literally millions of people had that opportunity to see that. Through that broadcast. That was just awesome. So an amazing thing, what God's doing. And we were in a shoebox just last year or so, doing the best we could with $1 CDs, sending them out. I mean, we still were doing worldwide ministries. We were still doing things and traveling the earth the best we could, and also sending seed to missions. We never stopped doing anything missions-wise, and we never stopped doing anything bigger than us. We just weren't at the capacity that we are today. And today, it's just this day of small beginnings, and we got a lot more to do. So I just said all that to brag on the Father and how awesome he is and how awesome you guys are in this congregation, because you're making it happen. Amen. Continue to pray that we would expand into this community and do more things. By the way, thank you, Manna Ministries, tonight. There's some goodies back there. Amen. If you remember your pastor, leave me, what is that, a donut back there or something? But y'all take it home. You know me, man. Just get it and go and be blessed. But thanks to Manna Ministry for what they've done today. And for all y'all and what you do in your own way. Everybody has their own ministry. I appreciate the prayers. Please don't stop praying. Pray, pray, pray. Always pray. Don't say, well, Pastor, he's got enough prayers. No, I need more prayers. Always pray for Pastor and Pastor Jen and our family. So I appreciate that. All right, Wednesday night teaching. Man, I hope you're enjoying this. World missions and evangelism. This is awesome. I've been enjoying this particular teaching. It's stirring my faith up to do more of my personal evangelism and to get tracts in my hands. I've been passing tracts out and being more vocal. And that's what teaching does. Teaching will inspire you and prod you to go do the work that you're supposed to do. So I hope you're doing that as well. We have all kinds of tracts right behind here on the bar. Get it. We have Bibles. We can get more Bibles if we need it. Take them with you and pass them out. And get the word out. Amen. Last time we talked about becoming fishers of men, Matthew chapter 4. Remember, Jesus was tempted and then he came out empowered. We know that because Luke 4 talks about that, verse 14. And they went to Galilee. Remember that, Galilee. That's like going to a specific area of our neighborhoods or part of our life to where maybe they're not the most educated and whatever it may be, because Galilee was not cultivated or refined. That's what it says. That's the true history of Galilee. And they were uncouth in their particular speaking and their language. And, you know, some people in various places when they come see you and I, that quite don't understand us, amen? But, you know, we speak country here. We speak sweet tea, grits with butter, bacon bits, and cheese if you got any. Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about. And we just be a little difference over here. But if you go to other places, it's different there. But this is what the contrast was. This was the issue with going to Galilee, and this is what Jesus found when he was there. These were the working class people. They were fishermen. And how many of y'all know, if you've ever hung around somebody who works outside, they're a little different. Outside people are different than inside people. Don't look at Brother John. Everybody knows what I'm talking about. They just look different. They sound different. They smell a little different. Outside people, God bless you, outside people just different than a guy that sits in an office all day long or a gal that's in an office. And but anyways, especially fishermen, they got to be some unique people. But he goes there and he grabs hold of these men. He brings them into himself, says, come on, you're going to be fishers of men. He picks them. He says, follow me. Remember, the word follow me means to come. Come now. Come now. When God calls you, you know, he doesn't give you a lot of space to think about it. I know when I was called into the ministry, there was like no room to negotiate. It was like, preach my word. It was like, okay. And I dropped everything. How many of y'all did the same? You dropped your nets. And, you know, when you got saved, you left everything that you used to be a part of. Remember, fishers, and the root word, hales or halas, means salt. Remember that? It means salt. And we are to be what? The salt of the world. So we're to be salty. So many times Christians walk around with attitudes and their nose up in the air. Yeah, let me try that on this side of the church. They walk around with their nose up in the air for so long, a bird can build a nest. And they have a PhD, that's a Pentecostal hairdo. And they have all these different attitudes about their life. And then they want to go out first of all, they don't witness. And if they do witness, I mean, who would want to be like you? Who would want to be like you? You're always mad about the church. Nothing's ever right. You're always complaining about something. And then you're going to tell somebody to come to your church. I wouldn't go to your church. I wouldn't go to church if you're the representation of the church. I wouldn't want to go there. Oh, this is getting good. And then the same, am I on tonight's teaching? I'm getting there. But it's the same thing with inviting people to Jesus. I mean, why would I want to follow your Jesus if the Jesus you're representing to me and offering me is crusty, he's rusty, he's got an attitude and all that, he's mad at everybody. You know, I don't think that's the Jesus I want to embrace. But if I bring the Jesus that is a redeemer, come on, somebody, he's a savior, he's a deliverer, he's a healer, he'll forgive you, he will bend the knee to the gutter and pick your hand up and grab you out of that mess, that's the Jesus I want. That's the Jesus I need. I don't need no petrified Christianity. I don't need something that's, you know, spin upside down in the post hole all night long and has been petrified in prune juice. Didn't get much help there. But see, that's the opposite of salt. Salt makes you thirsty, and that's my point. Matthew 5:13, salt, man. We got to be the salt of the earth. We got to show people, you know, that. And this was, there's a balance to this, because you have the other side of this salty grace message that puts people in sinners' paths, but yet lowers their standard of holiness and says, okay, well, I'm going to do some things to attract the sinner, and it's borderline sin. You understand what I'm talking about? There's a balance in the middle that says, look, I don't have to do that with you, and I don't have to act this way over here. I can stand in the middle and say, Jesus redeemed me from the curse of the law of sin and death. Man, he delivered me from alcohol, drugs, and pornography. He delivered me from fornication, adultery, and all the craziness of life. And he loves you, and he wants to get you out of that situation. So we got to find that balance, and I think salt makes that balance. Amen? All right, so last time we talked about all that, and I gave you the facts about Galilee, the prophecies of Ezekiel 47, and all that. So make yourself available to that CD. if you didn't get all the notes that you needed. All right, so tonight we're going to talk about, underneath the title of World Evangelism or World Missions and Evangelism, however you want to title this, because to me, World Missions and World Evangelism is the same. You can lock these and intercode them, connect these things, for the reason that the world is a society. The society is the world. And we live in such a world today here in America that it's not hard to find four, five, six, seven different countries represented, if not more, just going down the Walmart. Even in this particular region, we see people all the time from foreign countries. It's amazing how many are in this area. And so, especially with the laws of the past couple of years of immigration, we're seeing that happen in America. So I like to connect the both words. It doesn't bother me because we got to evangelize and do missions here and abroad. But tonight's message is going to be entitled Becoming an Ambassador for Christ. Becoming an Ambassador for Christ underneath the title of World Evangelism and Missions or World Missions and Evangelism. Amen. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And I hope this blesses you tonight and encourages you to continue to be an evangelist, do the work. Again, you don't need a microphone in one hand, a Bible in the other, slick hair, shiny shoes, on a podium somewhere. You are the greatest evangelist that you can possibly be because you can reach the people that I never will. There are people that will never want to hear me. You didn't have to say amen. I'm glad you didn't. But there are people that, and I have no misgivings about that. I can understand that. There's people that just can't tolerate a preacher. They don't want to hear a preacher. They don't want to see your production. They don't want to see nothing about you. But they will talk to you. They'll sit down with a cup of coffee with you. They'll go down to the Burger Shack and have a sandwich with you and talk about the things of life. But they don't want to hear me. Or any other preacher, amen? And that's okay. We can't be everywhere and do everything for everyone. Ephesians chapter 6, watch this. Go to verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. Praying always. We got to pray all the time, don't we? Prayer is the breath of a worshiper. Prayer is the breath of a worshiper. Prayer should be the breath of a Christian. We should always be praying. Remember, it doesn't have to be King James. It can be amplified. It can be the Message Bible. But it doesn't have to be King James. It doesn't have to be, 3 hours long. We should always be praying. Our hearts should always be crying out to God. Our hearts always should be pondering and meditating and thinking about God. But watch this, praying always with all prayer. There's the point, all prayer. All prayer that's available to the saints. That could be silent prayers. That could be meditations of the heart. That could be songs. That could be all types of prayer. And supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications. There's a lot of alls there for all saints. Now, I started out off this way because Paul understood the necessity of prayer, and he added this into the armor. And if you remember when I prayed about the armor, I add prayer into the armor of God because it's so important that we pray and have prayer as our armor. It's a shield. It protects us. It provides. But Paul added it to finish up what he was saying to the Ephesians. But I want you to see this one key point. Perseverance and supplications for all saints. We should be praying globally for the body of Christ. We should be praying for every saint. It doesn't matter if you know their name or not. Obviously, we don't know names of the people in the provinces of China and all through the different places in Japan and so on and so forth. But what we can say to God is that we pray for all the saints of the earth, everybody that is preaching the gospel, everybody that loves Christ Jesus, everybody on every continent, God, please raise them up and bless them. You see, the problem with most of us when we pray, we're too shallow. And we get on this side, it looks more comfortable. There's only a few of you on this side, so I feel I can at least defend myself halfway with a microphone. But seriously, we're too shallow because we're too focused on our own personal life. We're too selfie. You know, we have a selfie life. It's me. It's my children. It's my few, you know, friends around the neighbors and my puppies. And, you know, everything's just us. But we got to learn to broaden our prayers if we're going to be really world-class evangelists and world-class missions and a world-class missions type of church. We have to think beyond our shallowness of ourselves. We really do. And it's not hard to once in a while say, and God, and by the way, bless all my brothers and sisters worldwide. That wouldn't be too hard to add to the end of a prayer, would it? Or like I mentioned on the radio broadcast the other day in the interview, go get a globe. Go to the Dollar Tree. Go get a globe. Go to Family Dollar, wherever. They're not that much. They got them now with a pencil sharpener, so they're bonus right there. And get you a globe and walk around your prayer time holding your globe like a baby or a sack of potatoes under your arm and pray and say, God, bless the world. Bless the church everywhere. See, what we don't recognize and realize is one day we will stand before God and he'll say, what did you do for my body? And we'll say, well, I prayed for the church down the road. He said, that ain't my whole body. You prayed for a fingernail. Listen, this is not condemnation. This is an awakening for the body of Christ that I guarantee you there's brothers and sisters praying for this church right now in various countries of the world. I know that they are. I know there's churches in Cuba that have been praying for this ministry for years, calling our names out, whom they know. And if they don't know us, they just say Ignited Church. Well, what value do they have in that? In other words, that's over here. The value is they understand that we're the body of Christ. And we need to do the same today. Get you that globe or write down, adopt. This is what I said on the interview. We always adopt a highway, don't we, to pick up the trash. Why don't we adopt the nation? Why don't your family once a week, you know, or once a month, adopt the nation, Kazakhstan, or some other type of nation you've never heard of, and pray for them for an entire week, month, or day, whatever it is. And begin to pray and say, God, I pray for all saints. Because one day, oh man, one day in heaven, you're going to see somebody from Zimbabwe, from Mozambique, from someplace in Ghana. And they're going to say, you made a difference in my life. You go, I never met you. I never did anything. Well, look, you prayed. And see, I believe that. I believe that one day we're going to see the rewards of our prayers. Isn't that exciting? But this is what Paul was trying to make us to see, and it was part of spiritual warfare. But watch how deeper it gets through Paul's understanding. He says, so supplication for all saints, verse 19, and for me, you notice that he says, include me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Now watch. Verse 19 again, and for me, that utterance, I want you to write that down, 3056, utterance. The word in the Greek is logos, logos. This is powerful. 3056, logos. Let me give you the definition, and this will really, really bring it to another understanding. To articulate the utterance of human language. To articulate utterance of the human language. Once you get that, I'm going to give you another word for that. Articulate utterance of the human language. The other word is intelligence. Intelligence. So Paul says it this way. He said, man, I want you to pray for everybody. He said, I especially want you to pray for me. I need you to pray for me. Okay? I need you to pray for me so that I can have intelligent utterance of the human language, that I can speak with intelligence when I minister, the logos, something that is intelligent, something that has revelation knowledge and that has revelation knowledge of redemption. Okay, because I'm going to prove that to you in just a second. And for me, the utterance may be given unto me that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. He said, I want to have utterance. I want to have intelligence. I want to be able to articulate when I stand before kings and I stand before queens and I stand before presidents and I stand before ambassadors and I stand before the common man. I want to have intelligence when I speak. I want to be able to articulate in human language the great story of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And see, this is what I mean. Many times we don't articulate properly the gospel of Jesus Christ. We articulate our attitudes. Wish I had a friend. We articulate our problems. We articulate this. We articulate that. And what we do is we do not give a fair representation of the gospel message, and we don't use intelligence that God has given us to speak a word and a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, I'm gonna expound on that in just a minute. So Paul says in priority, he said, I need you to pray for me. Why is that important? I want you to write this down. Prayer is the key. It's going to take just a little lengthy time here, but I'll get it all out. Prayer is the key that unlocks your mouth to speak the mysteries of the gospel. Prayer is the key that unlocks your mouth to speak the mysteries of the gospel. One more time, and then I'll put it together and wrap it up. Prayer is the key that unlocks your mouth to speak the mysteries of the gospel. So Paul understood that. Paul understood the need for prayer. Now, here's the wild thing. Anybody need me to repeat that? You got it so far? Here's the wild thing about it. Paul, in Acts chapter 14, verse 12, was considered like a god, Mercury, because of his ability to speak. Do you remember that? Acts chapter 14, verse 12, and his sidekick or his traveling partner, he was considered Jupiter. Do you remember that? Do you remember that? So what is the thing here? What is the deal here? Here's a guy. He's got his traveling partner, Barnabas, with him. He's Jupiter. He's speaking like Mercury, and everybody's freaking out. They're like, man, look at this guy talk. He's a god. Then all of a sudden, in Ephesians chapter 6, he says, please pray for me. Because he understood that prayer was the key that unlocks the mouth to speak boldly the mysteries of the gospel. He understood that he couldn't do it on his own strength. He understood that it was the power of prayer. It was the power of supplication and perseverance and believing God and asking God, God, please open doors for ministry. Please open doors for those African preachers right now that are out in the bush and wherever they may be, or in the Middle East, wherever the countries may be. And Paul said, I need you to pray for me so I can speak with intelligence. I find that very powerful and very humbling and very telling of what kind of man of God he was. He wasn't arrogant like most preachers, that they get a microphone in one hand, a Bible in the other, man, they just do their thing, and they ain't spend no time with Jesus, and you can tell. But the point is, we got too many people out there that just want to run out there and do ministry. Man, pray. I don't want to do anything, and I won't do anything in ministry without being baptized in prayer. God, help me. Help me. But watch this. He said, and for me. I love it. They just adds it in there. Man, pray for all the saints in the whole world, everybody, you know. And then me. Pray for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly. Here it is, to make known, to make known. You need to write this down on the word known. What known? The revelation of redemption. Known, to reveal, to uncover. He said, man, I want to speak boldly. I want to speak with intelligence that I may reveal and make known the revelation of redemption. He didn't say anything about his ministry. He didn't say anything about his church. He didn't say, I want to make known my pastor. He said, I want to make known the revelation of redemption. Let's clarify it. Let's go a little further. The mystery of the gospel. So give me the intelligence, give me the boldness, so that I can reveal the mystery of the gospel. Here, let me give you the word for mystery. I'm going to spell it for you, okay? It's M-U-S-T-E-R-I-O-N. M-U-S-T-E-R-I-O-N. And that is 3466. Okay? It means hidden, secret, and also means to shut the mouth. In other words, there's some things that God says, and there's other things he doesn't say anything about until a specific time and season. In due season, what happened? Christ died for the ungodly. In due season, Jesus was revealed. In the old, he was concealed. In the New Testament, he was revealed. Okay? And we can go back and look at the old and see the scarlet thread that was there, but wonderfully was held until the time of his appearing. There's a lot of reasons for that. I don't have time to go into it. But that Greek word there for mystery means to be hidden. So he said to make known, to reveal the hidden secret of what? The gospel. Paul understood that there was some mystery about the gospel at the time. Now, there is no mystery today of the gospel necessarily, though we're learning so many different things about him and redemption and salvation, and it'll always be a learning experience. But there were things about the gospel that was hidden to the Jewish people. There were things that were hidden from the Gentiles. There were things that were hidden from the devil himself in order for there a time period when God says, okay, now I'm going to reveal my son. And when he did, he revealed him, and then the plan of God was revealed, and then now we have the gospel story, and we begin to understand it and see it. But Paul says, I need this intelligence so that when I stand before the Pharisees, when I stand before kings, and I stand before nobles, I can reveal this hidden mystery to the world. You know what? That same application comes to us today. That we have to teach people and reach people and have that mystery pulled off of their mindset and the scales removed from their eyes because they don't understand church. Most sinners don't understand why we do what we do. They don't understand, you know, I'm talking about the hardcore sinner, not the guy that's been in church and he's backslid. He understands. You get him crying about 2 minutes. I mean, you just sing, you know, Just As I Am, or, you know, he'll talk about the things of the church when he grew up. But I'm talking about usually the hardcore people who don't know Christ. They don't understand what we do. And even the backslidden, they have that scale upon their eye. So what do? Just like Paul, we take this application and we say, God, give us the boldness today. Give my brothers and my sisters the boldness today that when they speak intelligently, all of a sudden that mystery, the mystery of the gospel, the mystery of the revelation of redemption comes to them. Because remember, there's always a personal side to each person in their salvation. In other words, we don't all get saved under the same scripture. We all didn't get saved under the same way. There was something specific about you that God had to use to pull the veil off of your eyes. There was something about you and something about me that caused the scales to come off of our eyes. Isn't that right? And so we got to ask God, what is the strategy for the person that I'm trying to minister to? Now, some of this, you know, people think, okay, well, you're getting into ministry and you're trying to talk to ministers. No. When you have that track in your hand and you're about to pull it out of your purse and you're going to pray over it, pray, God, wherever this track goes, would the scales fall off their eyes? Whatever you got to do, Father, with these words, let the scales fall off their eyes. Let the plan of redemption be revealed in this tiny little tract that's in my hand and go right in that bathroom and put it somewhere. Or go right over there and throw it on a 12-pack of Budweiser. Come on, somebody. Actually, put it inside because that's the best thing. I love that. I don't know how many people I've freaked out and probably got saved, but I put them in 12-packs, man. That's the way to go. They get home, yeah, we're going to party tonight. What? What are you talking about? I'm going to go to hell. You're going to go to hell, boy, if you keep drinking that beer. We ought to make our own tracks that are just like that. Let's do that. Let's make our own tracks that says, if you drink this beer, you're going to die and go to hell or something like that. I don't know. We'll find something to do. Anyways. But you know what? That's what we have to do. And you say, well, you know, why does all this matter? What's the big deal? I mean, it sounds like a lot of work. Well, you know, winning people to Christ is a lot of work sometimes. And casting your nets out there and fishing and being fishers of men, it's not always easy. All right? But check this out. He said, I'm going to make known the mystery of the gospel. I want to make known that. I want it to be known to people around me. I don't want the gospel to be hidden in my life. I don't want people to wonder and think, you know, and not experience the fullness of what God has for them. So then he says this, verse 20, for which I am an ambassador in bonds. I am an ambassador in bonds. Now, we know that he was a prisoner, right? In the book of Ephesians, yes, he was a prisoner. He was in bonds. It means chains as well. But the first word he said was, I am an ambassador. So let's give you that definition. An ambassador is an elder. I'm going to give you several definitions, but the first part of the definition is an elder. It's a word that we would use for a bishop or a presbyter. A bishop or a presbyter. It also means somebody of age, mature. Now, we're not talking about being old or older or oldest. We're talking about maturity. We're talking about having the capacity to rightly divide the word of God, to be a person in that type of authority, to do what? To be a representative of the Lord Jesus, a representative of the kingdom, okay, or of the king. So I'm giving you a whole broad definition here, but literally that's what it means. Look it up. I'm an elder, bishop, I'm a presbyter, I'm of age. This is what Paul was saying. For which I am an ambassador in bonds. I'm in chains. I'm fully matured in the things of God. I recognize where I am. I'm in bondage right now. I'm in chains. But I'm asking for you to pray for me. Why? That therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Okay? Let me give you the second side of that about being in bonds and chains. You and I are not in bonds and chains, but we are bondservants. We do love God with all of our heart. I wouldn't go anywhere outside of this kingdom. No matter the money, no matter the offer I ever receive, this world could ever give me, I would never leave the king or his kingdom. I'm in bonds. I'm in chains. I'm a prisoner of Christ. I hope you are too. I hope there's not a bag of silver that can persuade you to go another place. Amen? There's nothing in that bag the world could ever give you and I to leave such great salvation. And so, yeah, we're in bonds too. So we are a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul says, man, I need you to pray. I need you to be a part of my ministry. Now go over to 2 Corinthians. I started that out because I wanted to show you the Apostle Paul and how he used prayer to help him become that great orator and to speak boldly. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let me know when you get over there. Now, this thing, I can preach this whole thing till the cows come home, because this is good, good stuff. You need to read 2 Corinthians chapter 5 tonight, tomorrow, when you get a chance, because it's just so good, and I just can't read it all. And I'm just going to begin in verse 1, and then I'm just going to find a few places, and I'll get to the meat of where I'm going, but listen to this. For we know, this is verse 1, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God. Glory to God. A house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Glory to God. If this house is dissolved right here, we got another house. We got another body. We have a celestial body. We have an eternal body. It don't ever get sick. It don't ever gain weight. Woo! Isn't that good? That's about as far as I can suck it in right there. And never again. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with the house which is from heaven. Man, we groan. Do you know inside your spirit you really groan for home? You love life. Everybody in this room loves life. Everybody listening to my voice tonight loves life. Nobody wants to end life. Nobody wants to go beyond the limitations of this life. Life is great. Life is good. Life's a gift. Enjoy it. Bless other people with your appearance. Bless other people with your mouth, with your life, your words, everything about you. Bless people with. But inside, man, this ain't our home. Inside, we keep thinking. Inside, our spirit says, woo. We, man, one day we're going to slide on streets of gold. We're going to see grandma. We're going to see grandpa. We're going to see so-and-so. And most of all, we're going to see Jesus. That's what our bodies say. That's what our spirits say inside. See how I can preach this all night long? We could just enjoy this. Watch this. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. Glory to God. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. Not for that we would be unclothed, but be clothed upon that mortality should be swallowed up of life. Woo, hallelujah. What a promise. What a promise. Hinduism doesn't offer this. Islam doesn't offer this. There is no religion in the world that offers life like this through Jesus Christ. I don't know how you could serve another God. But like Paul, we need to be bold. Like Paul, we need to reveal the mystery to those nations of the world who think, like in Nepal today, where over 300 million gods are worshipped, to which I've had an opportunity to go there and preach to those great people. It's hidden to them. It's hidden from them. They don't see it and they don't understand. But you know what? We can pray from Ignited Church in Livonia, Georgia, that God would raise up a mighty movement of the Holy Spirit in Nepal today. Let them raise up evangelists in Kathmandu and go all through Tibet, all through the Tibetan border into China, into all these different places of the world. Man, that excites me. I don't know about you, but that excites me. Watch this. Verse 5. Now, he that hath wrought us for the same self thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Remember, the Holy Spirit's the down payment. We have the down payment of the Holy Ghost that lets us know, come on, we got a place in heaven. He does it. He reminds us twice. He reminds us when we're not doing too good here on earth. Hey, you got a heavenly home. And he reminds us, too, when we're doing well and we're prospering and things are going our way and our pockets are filling up. He says, excuse me, I just want to remind you, this is not your home. Don't you hold all that. You need to start giving some away and make a deposit in your eternity. All right, so, man, I could just go on, but let's just do two more verses. I love this because this is leading up to where Paul is giving this description here of an ambassador. But please read the rest of this because Paul is building up to this great story. He's leading in. He's reminding us of all that's before us and how we should preach this gospel to people and tell them with the salt of the word and say, man, you know, your situation's bad now, but guess what? God has an eternal home for you. Man, your body may be racked with pain and Jesus can heal you now, but guess what? Heaven is full of divine life and divine health. You know what I'm saying? And so you could take all this, but verse 6, therefore, we are always confident. How many times are we confident? Always confident, knowing that which we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Man, I could just go on. But he says, man, you know, I understand that this limited life, the boundary that I have, cannot compare to the eternal glory in Christ Jesus and what's before us. Man. We have the greatest story. Why do we hide it? We have the greatest story on earth. Why do we hide it as churches? You know, churches don't teach and preach on salvation. They really don't. And on redemption. They just show up at church and hardly do any evangelism. We got to change that. And we are changing that. Amen? And you need to help me do it in your own personal life. Now watch this. Let's go down to verse. Oh, man. Let's go to verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Or a new creation. That's the real translation. He's a new creation. Some of y'all got a new creature when you got married. But old things are past. Isn't that true? Come on, man. Love is blind. Marriage is an eye-opener. I had no idea he was that way. He snores. Oh, my God. He's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us what? The ministry of reconciliation. I love this now. I'm about to run around. The ministry of reconciliation. Now, the definition of reconciliation is exchange. Write that down. Exchange. It has to do with the money changers. It has to do with the money changers. The whole terminology. Exchange. So we've been given what? The ministry of reconciliation or exchange. What I am trying to do for you, Mr. Sinner, is I'm not trying, now you don't tell them this, but I'm not trying to get you to come to my church. I'm not trying to get you to meet my pastor. And you can use all these as tools. They're all part of fishing. But I am trying to exchange your wicked, broken down life, your depressed, sick filled life with the life in Christ, the new creation, the new life, the new opportunity, the new creation that God has called you and I to be. Man, that's powerful. That's powerful. But many times when we go to evangelize, we just try to get people to come to the church. Isn't that right? I want you to come to my church. And I appreciate that. And that is part of evangelism. You can try it and all that stuff. But the truth of the matter is, how about if they never make it Sunday? How about if they don't make it, you know, out of the parking lot or something, you know? So we have to look at things a little differently than just trying to say, well, I invite them to church. I evangelized. I got to go. It's a little deeper than that, right? So watch this. So he says, the ministry of reconciliation, I'm working on you to exchange. I want to see that exchange in your life. Again, it's like money changers. But here's another definition. Watch this. Favor. It also means favor. Restoration of favor to the sinner. That is an understanding of reconciliation in that whole scripture right here. And what I'm going to tell you about in some more scriptures here. The ministry of reconciliation is I'm trying to exchange, but I'm also trying to give you favor. I'm trying to extend to you the grace that was given to us that will enter you into favor with God. Man, that's beautiful. That's a great gospel message. And see, it doesn't always have to be, hey, you're going to die and go to hell. Right? I mean, it's the truth. They're going to die and go to hell. But why don't we pray specifically and be strategic in our evangelism and say, God, what do you want me to say? Well, maybe he'll say that. Maybe he'll tell you, hey, tell them about my great favor and what I have to offer them. All right, verse 19. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. So God was in Christ exchanging, bringing back into favor, right? Is that right? Who? The world, through Christ, unto himself, not imputing their trespasses. Not imputing their trespasses. Now that's powerful, because the word imputing, watch this, it means to put into our account. He said, I'm not going to put it into your account. It means to cancel the account of debt. Aren't you glad today that your debt has been canceled for your sin? Man, I'm glad God doesn't. Oh, listen, people will remind you of where you came from, won't they? People remind you how dirty you were. People remind you what you said. People, I mean, you know, even Christians. That's why I tell people, be careful giving your testimony to everybody. Be careful relying on somebody's ear and sharing with them things of your personal life, because there's a chance it's going to have a boomerang, and all of a sudden you're going to find it on Facebook. You're going to find it somewhere else, and you're going to go like, I can't believe they betrayed me. Well, guess what? You got to be careful with people. Amen? But watch this. Not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto them the word of reconciliation. So he said, through Christ, he brought the world back to himself. He gave them favor through Jesus Christ. He canceled for everybody that did not, that had received him. He canceled their debt. He canceled our sin. And then he says this, and he gave us the word of reconciliation. He's given us the message of reconciliation. He gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That's what we're supposed to be doing to the world today, is telling them, you have favor again with God. God loves you. He's got a plan for you. He wants to take you out of the dumps and bring you into his blessing. Yeah, I know sometimes we got to talk about punishment. We got to talk about hell. We got to talk about the wages of sin. And all that is important. But there's strategies. But the main thing we must understand is you and I have the ministry of exchange. I want to share with people the exchange that God gave me. I was on death row, not literally, but my life and my sin was on death row. And everybody sitting here, I don't care if you're born in the church, you're on death row, because all of us were born into sin. No man was righteous, and you're still not righteous today unless the blood makes you righteous. And we forget that sometimes in church. The longer we spend in church, we become petrified, and we think, you know, we've got it made. But there's a whole world out there that doesn't have it made. And we got to remember, we got to reconcile them. We have to have the ministry of reconciliation. We have to exchange with them the reality that God loves them and has a plan for them. Isn't that right? Now, verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. We're elders. We're mature. We are moving in maturity and moving in age. We represent the kingdom of God. We represent God. We represent the king, the kingdom, all those attributes that I mentioned earlier. We are ambassadors of Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. He says, in other words, we're speaking as though God is speaking through us. We're speaking as though God is ministering through us the ministry of reconciliation. That's our job. And that's what Paul knew that he was supposed to do as an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our message is salvation, redemption, and heaven. We speak on behalf of the King, not only the blessings, but also the warnings. Go to Ezekiel real quick, chapter 3. And then we're going to get out of here. Can you give me about 5 more minutes? I'm going to take them anyways. I'm just asking. Just trying to be nice about it. It's raining outside. Thank God. We need the rain. Amen. But let me just show you this so I don't have to save this for another day. I'm going to show you 2 spots. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 18. I'll begin to read it. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou giveth him not warning, thou speakest to, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life. The same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but the blood I will require at thine hand. That's pretty heavy warning, isn't it? So we have a flip side of saying, okay, we're the ministry of reconciliation and we're ambassadors, but how serious is it? It's so serious that if we don't witness and warn, there's an opportunity that person could die and go to hell, and one day we'll be responsible for that. Yet if thou warn the wicked and churn not from the wickedness nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou shalt deliver thy soul. In other words, you know, if you make that opportunity available and they don't receive it, you're clear. Your conscience is clear. Sounds to me we're supposed to make every effort, right? Okay, so let's go to Ezekiel chapter 33, and you could read the rest of those at another time, but my time is short, so I want to get this to you so I don't pull this into another teaching unless I'm directed to go a little deeper. Watch this, Ezekiel chapter 33. You need to read The Watchman's Duty. It's pretty cool. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, The wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, and if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. So here we see it twice. I think it's pretty important if God mentioned it twice and mentioned it in other places. So we have a ministry of reconciliation. Why? Because the world is going to hell in a handbasket. People are dying every day, every second, every moment of the hour. And we have to make sure that people in our lives that cross our path, that we work with, that we have intimacy near in jobs and business transactions. Maybe it's the teller at the bank, whatever. We have to make sure we witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, deliver the word today. I ask that you would help us just to, number one, be greater prayer warriors for the nations of the world, that Ignited would continue to pray hard and persevere, Father. Give all supplication to the saints, to my brothers and sisters in every part of the world today. I know we're doing things with shortwave and various media outreaches, but Father, prayer, that is the powerful key that will unlock boldness for pastors and preachers around the world, for laymen, for Christians who love God. And I pray that we'll do that. And I pray that the countries of the world will pray for us and pray for Ignited and pray for me and pray for our jail ministry and Manna Ministries and everything we're setting our hands and hearts towards, that God, we would make known the ministry of reconciliation. We would make known the mystery of the gospel. Bless this church. Bless your people today to become greater witnesses and greater soul winners for your glory. We love you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, soul winners, go get them. Don't forget, we have tracks in the back. Make yourself available. I'll see you Sunday, and I love you.